Come on. We're going to praise the Lord together. We invite you to come and celebrate the Lord with us here today. Come on.
Like this.
We're so grateful to serve a God who's alive and who's worthy of praise. So come on, let's praise Him together in this place. Hallelujah.
Savior of the world, the Lord of all, love eternal, unconditional, laying down your life, you gave it all for me.
Faithful,
faithful is your name, the Holy One, great in all your ways. The kingdom come, laying down your life, you gave it all for me. From the top of my life. walk in victory.
Hey,
in victory. Full of faith, I have no fear.
To him I will. My family is blessed.
My health
is blessed. And my wealth, everything is blessed.
My church is blessed.
My city
is blessed. My nation is blessed.
Because my God, come on, sing that.
My house is blessed.
a shout today. Woo! What a mighty God! What a mighty God! What a mighty God! Hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah! How many are blessed today? Hallelujah! We know that God is good and He's on the move today. I encourage everybody to get involved in what He's doing. He's ready to touch you. He's ready to shake you, to do something spectacular. So when you leave this place, you won't be the same. Oh, hallelujah.
Oh,
worship Jesus today.
All it takes is one moment and just one touch from you. I put aside all distractions, 'cause I came for you. I came for you.
I need you now, come on.
I need you more than ever. Nothing else satisfies.
Nothing else satisfies.
All my life I surrender. I live for you. I live for you. 'Cause I came for you. I came for you. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come and move upon this place. We desire an encounter once again.
Lift him up, tell him that.
Sing, I came for you.
Nothing else, Lord. do that. Come on, lift your hands all over this place. Make way. Let's really focus on what He wants to do in us tonight. Come on, make room in your life, in your praise, in this moment for God to move in your life.
Have your way in this place. Lord, we have come for you. You make way. We make room.
Oh, have your way, Jesus.
Lord, with your spirit move.
Have your way
in this place. Lord,
us. We're glad to have you at Charleston Church. So Charleston Church, will you let our visitors, our guests know that we're glad you're here? We're glad you're in the house. If you're here, if you would take a contact card right in front of you and fill that out and put it in the offering, we're excited that you're our guest and we're glad to have you here. Everybody needs a good church. Amen? Amen. And this church has got a lot going on, so I'm going to tell you a little bit the things that are coming. On June 3rd, we're going to have our communion service, and it's going to be, how many have been in a communion service? It's going to be prayer and communion. We're believing God to do miracles in that service. Amen? And that's going to be our kickoff. We're going to have some fasting after that. Our church, we're going to ask you to fast with us for 3 days. Because that's what the Bible says to do. And how many know when we fast and we sacrifice food, it helps our spirit. Amen? Yes, it does. Ushers, if you would come. I just lost some of them. I felt that food. And First Wednesday is going to be on June 6th. And it's just a middle-of-the-week fire service. It's good. It is so good. It's from 7 to 8. It starts at 7. Thank you, honey. And ends at 8. 7? For all. No breaks. No bathroom breaks. Just 7 to 8. And I am telling you that it has been phenomenal. I can't even explain it, but the power of the Holy Spirit has been here so strong. And we have Kids on the Move that night. Ignite will have their service with Soul Fire. It's just going to be a good night, okay? And June 10th is our baccalaureate service at 9:30. We love our graduates at this church. We're proud of them. So if you're, yes, we are. It will be at 9:30, and if you are graduating from high school or college, you can get a hold of Heather. What's your name went for me? That's awful. Heather or Paul, or you can go on to Charles C. Church 11A. I actually practiced that in my office, too, and I still messed up. And sign up, and we would just love to have, we're excited about what God has for the future of our graduates. Amen? It's going to be good. We're so thankful for your faithfulness, and I just want to say thank you for your faithfulness in our Project 18. You've been so faithful. We have so many things that we're going to do because of your faithfulness. And I just wanted to just say thank you. How awesome that this church is going to be affecting things all around the world. Amen? Amen? So when you give your tithe and your offering today, just want you to know, thank you for being faithful. I was reading in Luke 18, and it says, I will give tithes of all that I have. So that's God's word, and I'm so glad that I go to a church that believes in that and is faithful in that. So will you pray with me? Lord, we just thank you for this service, for what you're going to do in this service. We thank you that somebody that came today that doesn't know you will leave knowing you. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to continue to bless families. God, we just thank you, Lord, for this community. I pray, God, that we are able to do more in this community than we've ever done. And I just thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness. I pray you bless their finances. I pray you bless their businesses. And we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, everybody doing all right today? You look fantastic. Thank you for telling me I look good. By faith. Amen. Well, turn to your neighbor and say, I'm so glad you're sitting with me. Please, if you would, I'm so glad you're sitting with me. And if they glare at you, just sit with somebody else next week, all right? Praise the Lord. I'll see you tonight at 5 o'clock. I can't wait for tonight's service at 5 p.m. You need to be here. There's just something, it just fills your cup overflowing when you get here on Sunday night and start your week together with us. I've got a significant announcement that I need to share with you. And you understand leadership matters, correct? Yes. Leadership is important. God has established leadership, and what he does rises and accelerates by appropriate leadership. And this church is, believe it or not, nearly 90 years old. Nearly 90 years old. What a rich heritage God has given to us. Do you realize God is doing something very unique and special out here in this little town of Charleston? Would you realize that? Hey, hopefully you haven't been here that long that you've forgotten how special this is. And it's unique. God is starting to do things like this in other places of the nation, but we're glad that we get to be a part of it. And over those 90 years, this church has always had an emphasis on young people. How many of you grew up in this church? You were young, you grew up in this church. Yeah, quite a few of you. Is there a light out up there? Or are you're just a dark cloud over that section over there? I'm going to preach right at that section today until the light comes. I'm just teasing. There is a light out, but just took me off guard. And from Brother Kimball appointing Pastor Libby as pastor when he was 29 to Pastor Libby suggesting that I become the pastor at 29, and I looked like I was about 9 at the time. But they've always had an emphasis on not just young leadership, but youth in the church. And I'm a product of it. I grew up in this church. My family started coming here when I was in 7. And I can point back to those days of being taught in Sunday school and attending youth events and meetings and conventions, that my life today is significantly impacted because of that. And I'm so grateful that people have sacrificed and have honored the vision that God has given this church to reach the next generation. And I wish that you'd help me honor all those that have helped in all the history of this church to reach a generation that God has his eye on. I think you ought to help me thank them. Every teacher, every youth worker, every bus driver. Fantastic. 90% of all that has just been volunteers carrying a burden for young people. So we're so grateful for that. Since the beginning of this year, I've really been praying, Lord, what can we do that we can accelerate and really make a greater impact? You know, in a 10-mile radius around this church, a 10-mile radius around here, there are 2,500 young men and women under the age of 18. In a 10-mile radius. In a 40-mile radius, there are 58,000 people from birth to 18 years old. And I don't think it would take much for me to convince you, in light of the shootings that are taking place at our schools, that there is a devil. Yeah, you watch too much TV. There is a devil. You watch too much gospel talk shows. That's what your problem is. There is a devil. And he is using every way he can to destroy the next generation. And oftentimes, when I'm looking for God's will, I find out what the devil's trying to do, and then I try to do the opposite of it. And I've really had that burden in my heart for this year. I've really in my own heart, committed myself just to a handful of things for the rest of my life. And those are the things that God wants me to do, and God has something for all of us to do. And one of those things is to devote myself to make sure that we are setting the next generation up for success. And so after praying throughout the beginning of the year, throughout the middle part of that first quarter, been meeting with youth directors and leaders in the church for a number of months, almost weekly, and we talked about our challenges, we talked about our opportunities, we talked about how we can do things differently to really bring young men and women to Christ and plug them in, get them rooted, so that when they become adults, they're successful, powerful, spirit-filled men and women of God. And so I don't want to give you too many details because I don't think it's necessary, but we came to a few conclusions. One, we desperately needed one person to take leadership over all of the youth departments. And so we figured that one out, and after much prayer, I asked Kelly Bean if she would mind taking that position to oversee Nursery, Kids on the Move, Ignite, and Soulfire. That's from birth to 12th grade. And she agreed with that, which left a gap or an opening. Yeah, thank God. I think it's critical with her skill set that she is involved in all of it, because you need somebody that understands how children are, you know, there are a lot of different needs going on today that were not dealt with in church 20 years ago, 10 years ago. Things are changing. I don't know if you know it. I think you do. Things are changing, and we're not going to get behind it. We're going to get ahead of it so that we can. How many believe every child, no matter what their home life, no matter what their challenge is, they all deserve to hear about Jesus Christ? I believe that. I don't care. No excuses. No excuses why everybody can't be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that leaves the position of the children's pastor for Kids on the Move open. And through prayer and consideration with the board and the staff, our daughter Mariah, believe it or not, just graduated from Husson University with her bachelor's degree. And she graduated, I'm not going to say it right, cum laude, cum summa laude. She's wicked smart, is what she is. Very trained in modern techniques, and obviously you've heard her testimony. She's so full of the Holy Spirit. And so she has agreed that on July the 9th, she'll take that position and become the children's pastor for Kids on the Move. So thank God for that. I'm not taking any guff from her either. She's going to earn it. I told her the first year somebody comes on staff here, the typical routine is you have to cook the staff lunch every day for a year. And she's like, I hope you like macaroni and cheese. So I've asked Kelly, because she's so involved with children, I said, I need you to really get involved in some of the other groups. And so what we're going to do throughout the summer is transition. And Kelly not only will be the director of all the youth groups and coordinate all that, not only will she continue her outreaches to the different schools that she is very involved in, and I don't have time to talk about all that, but she's also going to be the Soulfire youth pastor for a period of time so that she's getting to know the volunteer team and the children. Now, let me talk to you about Paul and Heather, because they're doing Soulfire right now. They're not leaving. I'm going to make Paul the women's pastor. And he told me, he said, I'll do anything you want. I said, I don't want you to do that. But Heather will continue her great ministry. She's going to broaden the music ministry, not just for Sundays, but really start getting more involved with the young people and raise up a generation of anointed worship leaders in music. You know, we're Pentecostal. We got to have our good anointed music, right? And then Paul will continue to help us with the music here and more creative work for us in videos and in our presentations, and do more visitation and kind of move into more of a pastoring role as far as helping visit and minister and meet with people. So these are several changes, and I'm sure that I've confused somebody. But you just got, so Kelly is the head. Mariah's taking care of the little kids. She's also going to take care of the big kids. These kids are going to take care of you kids. Plain enough? The Sunday school department. Let me just say this about the Sunday school department, because that is a vital and such a unique ministry that we have here. And Ron and Pam are aware of the changes that we're making. The youth groups and the Sunday school have never been at odds. They're there to work and complement each other. But I think that the youth department can even better complement with the Sunday school department, because it's easier when one person has oversight of everything. So I just see the combination of this thing getting to the point where, look at me, Grammys and Grampies, your grandchildren are going to have the greatest place to grow up in church. Listen to me, parents, you're going to have the best place to raise your children in church. Listen to me, people, you're going to have a great place for your nieces and nephews, neighbors, family kids, community kids to come in here and hear that the devil is a liar and Jesus Christ is still Lord. Amen? Come on, let's give God thanks for what he's doing. Praise God. There are many, many more details beyond that and many more plans that are significant. In fact, a significant building project within our facilities to complement that and other areas. I'll tell you more about that. You know, we can only take so much information at one time. And so I'm going to give it to you bite by bite. Would you please stand with me? And I want us to pray. You can play, musicians. I want us to pray for those families in Santa Fe, if you would, with me. How many's hearts are broken over these people there? I look across the auditorium and I see school teachers, private school, public school teachers. My heart really, I was thinking about all the teachers and the school workers and everybody involved in education. And I heard even just down at Central this week, somebody came in and keyed up the cars. And I'm sick of it. How about you? And I feel in my spirit there's something behind it. It's not just evil. But there's, and I'm going to just say this, and I'm learning to say more of what the Holy Ghost is saying to me and not just keep it to myself. But I believe in my spirit there is a group of people behind the scenes that are finding young people and manipulating them. And I believe there are adults that are involved in manipulating these people to commit these murders in our schools. And this may upset your stomach, but I'm going to ask that God take those adults out. And I don't mean offline. I mean kill them. No, no, no. I mean it. That is unbelievably dangerous when an adult can manipulate young people to do something so hellacious. That's evil, pure evil. And so you don't have to agree with me on that, but that's what God's told me. He says, you go ahead and pray for that. These evil people need to be taken out, because it's unbelievably wrong for young people to go to school afraid. It's unbelievably wrong. It's not right. I don't think it's tolerable at all. And because of this, our kids are scared out of their mind, afraid of the future because of this. And it bothers me, and that's why I've made of my handful of commitments. One of them is we will always have a generation of young people in this church that will raise up in strength, and they'll always know you have a future. You may not be perfect, you may fall down, you may not do it all right, but that doesn't negate the goodness of God. Hallelujah. I'm so glad for God's faithfulness and His long suffering in our generation. So would you just join me? Pray for those families in Santa Fe. Pray for our local school teachers, principals, bus drivers. Oh God, we pray today in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, pray right out loud, church. This is serious enough that we get passionate about it. Lord, I pray for the families of those killed in Santa Fe, Texas. God, it's unimaginable the pain that they're feeling today. God, I pray that you will come by your comforting power and bring strength, help. God, some of us have been through some serious loss, and we know what it's like to sense the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, I pray for pastors that are in that area. I pray that with accuracy, with consideration, with delicacy, that they will step into those situations and minister through that area of Santa Fe and into Houston, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for teachers here in Penobscot County, in Piscataquis County, in private and public schools. I pray, God, that you'll build a hedge, because we pray today. I pray a hedge around every school district, over every bus, over every parking lot, over every gymnasium, over every classroom, over every hallway, over every individual that walk onto those grounds. We refuse to allow the enemy free access to any region that our people are going into. I pray, God, you'll put an end to those that are evil and are manipulating the next generation. End them right now, I pray, so that another innocent life has to be lost. We pray now in the name of Jesus, a revival for the United States of America. I pray, God, that we'll humble ourselves, and from the state of Maine to Florida to California to the Northwest, may there be an outpouring of your Spirit like never before. I don't know what else it'll take, so let this be the moment that we get back on our knees. We get back in the Word, and we start living right, and we start acting right, and we start believing right, and we start rejoicing that Jesus is Lord. In Jesus' name, let's thank God that He's going to do exactly what He said He would do. In Jesus' name. Open your Bibles with me while you're standing, please, to the book of Acts. If you don't mind, I'm just going to minister today. Today is the day on God's calendar called the day of Pentecost. And you know, the church has its own calendars of holy days or holidays, Christmas and Easter, which are both wrong. But we're not going to get hung up on that. But there is a calendar of God that God has set up. And today is that day called Pentecost. Somebody say Pentecost. If you don't know what it is, it's one of three holidays or holy days for the nation of Israel. And they were to all appear at Jerusalem. And there, it was to celebrate the harvest. And the priest, agriculturally, the celebration was the priest would take the harvest, and he would take the grain made into bread, and he would wave it before the Lord as thanks to God for the harvest. Spiritually, it was significant for the people of Israel, because they commemorate the day that God appeared to Moses on Mount Sinai and revealed to him the Ten Commandments. the Bible tells us that Jesus had been crucified, buried, and raised from the dead. He told his disciples to tarry in Jerusalem until they receive an incredible amount of spiritual power to fulfill that which Jesus died for. They went into an upper room and prayed for 10 days. They didn't do anything. They didn't do anything until they had obeyed the full command of Jesus Christ. This wasn't an option. Please hear what I'm telling you. Jesus did not say, well, if you get interested, or if you just have a lot of effort into it. No, he said, don't do anything until you have received the power of the Holy Spirit. And for 10 days, they were up in the upper room, and they were praying and reading the Bible and having church meals, tuna fish sandwiches, soggy peas, meatloaf. And on the day of Pentecost, something special happened, and we see that recorded in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. On the day of Pentecost, remember, people, Jews from all over the world had gathered in Jerusalem. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. It is very easily proven that this place was actually an upper room in the temple. It was in church. Verse 2. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were seated. And then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. Verse 4. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them the ability. Jesus, please help me today in your name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's word. I don't need long to say what God wants said today. For that, you ought to say, thank you, Jesus. That was rude, but you did it. I've been watching these volcanoes in Hawaii. Have you been seeing that? I've never seen a volcano in person, but these volcanoes are absolutely amazing to me. As you watch, it's like a tide of lava is just exploding up out of the ground. And plumes of smoke rising up to 12,000 feet. Spewing lava the size of a vehicle up into the air. There is an internal fire in a moment that there's an explosion. And what was previously unseen to the natural eye all of a sudden cannot be contained anymore. And it blows the doors off. It blows the limits off. And what I find very interesting is that they say a lot of the places where the lava is going will never be the same again. They don't have lava removal machines. I began to think about that. I began to think about Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost is the day that God said, I want my church like a volcano to erupt with unreversible power and impact on everything that it comes into contact with. I think that you ought to be happy about that because there are some things in our culture that need to be moved, but they won't be moved by human ability. They will be moved by a great move of God. I believe that God wants to do something so special, not only in Penobscot County, Piscataquis County, but all of the state of Maine. And I'm asking God, what is our part in that? And God said, your greatest emphasis for this season is to make sure that the church realizes that it is still God's will that the people of God be so full, not of destructive power, but of lava-like love, hallelujah, that flows out of the church. I'm telling you, the communities, the people are looking for something that can only be found, given by God through the church. You begin to talk to people about the power of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They may not come out and say it, but they almost have this mentality, well, that's for a time long ago. We're more sophisticated than that now. We don't need that anymore. No kidding. Really, I think somebody should make that announcement that racism is not a problem anymore. Really. Really, we don't need, we're sophisticated. We've developed to the point, really, that we don't need the power of the Holy Spirit, prayer meetings, fasting, seeking the word, ministry. Really, all political abuse doesn't happen anymore, huh? Oh, no kidding. I didn't realize that all sin in church leadership is totally gone now. You know what happened in the Holy Ghost church when there was sin in leadership? Leadership died. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? They were in leadership. They lied. They walked in and they were drug out. Oh, I know. You call Joe and sue somebody. God skipped the lawyer and he called the undertaker. That's how God worked in the New Testament. Oh, really? Addiction is not a problem anymore? We don't need the power of the Holy Spirit? Really? Occultism is not an issue anymore? We don't need the power of the Holy Spirit? Every one of these issues were major significant issues in the days of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And how many, by the raising of hands, say, we still have those issues. We still have those problems. And the answer is obviously not going to come from the government. The answer is obviously not going to come from education. The answer is obviously not going to come from money. The answer is going to come from heaven. And heaven has said it'll provide the answer through the church. I need you to hear this. Because there are many people that come here that believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But there's no power in the believing of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The power comes in the receiving of the Holy Spirit. Now, I understand this is a broad church with a broad amount of backgrounds, and I absolutely love it. But I've been asking God, help me to communicate to this generation what it is that I grew up hearing, what it is that I've experienced in my own life to bring victory. And the Holy Spirit just, I love it when he just makes things even more simple. And he said to me this week, he said, I sent Jesus to save your life. I sent the power of the Holy Spirit to fix your life. Now you got to be really educated to mess that one up. How many saved folks? I mean, you remember the day and the time that you accepted Christ as your Savior? You believe he died on the cross for you and you confessed him publicly. How many saved people are here today? That's awesome. If you didn't raise your hand, you have an opportunity before this service is over to accept Jesus. I'm going to give you an invitation that we give every week to come and receive Jesus as your Savior. But when you do that, your life is saved. But you can be saved and a wreck. You can be saved and be a hot mess. You can be saved and ugly, saved and critical, saved and mean. Can I get an amen? Just messing with you. You can be saved by Jesus. And I'm telling you, if you don't have Jesus, you're living dangerously. Jesus saves your life. But the good news is the baptism of the Holy Spirit fixes your life. Oh, I know it's too simple for you scholars. Please pardon me. But that puts joy in my spirit. Why? Because I began to realize that salvation is the door, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the mansion of God's tools. It is the place of God's provision. It's the kitchen for the hungry. It is the workbench for those who are broken. It is the home for the rested. It is for it's the living room of the lonely. Do you hear what I'm telling you today? You have nothing to be afraid of when the Holy Spirit comes and overflows of your life. He'll fix your life. Praise God. We have an answer. And when this church volcano blew up, the apostles, which were the 12 leaders, 11 minus Judas, they brought in another apostle by the name of Matthias. No relation. Okay, so anyways... And what happened was after this explosion took place, the apostles traveled from every, because all kinds of new works began to get started. And the apostles were commissioned to go out and to say, we'll put our stamp of approval on this church or not. Please hear what I'm telling you. Not everybody that calls themselves a church has God's stamp of approval. And the apostles would go to different works that they would hear is going on, and they would walk in. And this is what they would ask. What's your website look like? No. They would walk in, they'd say, what's your constitution read like? No, they didn't walk in. Are you pre-trib or post-trib? No, they didn't walk in. What style of music do you sing? They were smarter than that. They didn't walk in and say, what do you have for small groups? What do you have for my kids? Do you have air conditioning? Are your services during my time? Are you contemporary? Are you traditional? Are you hot brow? Are you just down and out? Are you redneck? Are you bougie? You know, they didn't ask one of them. They didn't ask, what's the preacher? How long are your services? They didn't ask any of these questions. They came in with one question. Have you received the Holy Spirit? I think we would do well to make sure that of all the things that we attempt to do and need to do, that we make sure that we do not leave behind the exact thing that the apostle says is the stamp of God's approval, that there is power amongst God's people. When they began to travel around and preach, you know, it wasn't highly accepted. And it ended up that they actually arrested the preachers for preaching the gospel. And before they released them, they said, we'll give you probation. And we're going to make sure that one thing, that you stop preaching the name of Jesus Christ. When the apostles were released, they're given back their street clothes, got into a long Oldsmobile and drove off to the church with a bag of belongings. They went back and prayed. They said, there's one thing that we won't do. We won't stop talking about Jesus Christ. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit will not come to anything that Jesus is not the center of. Pastor Libby used to say, buckle your seatbelts. I say, make sure the airbag is engaged. But I'm going to tell you, you can. If there's a whole lot of religious talk going on, but if Jesus isn't the middle of it, the Holy Spirit will have none of it. Hello, I hate to disappoint anybody, but you can talk about the Virgin Mary all you want. But here's the truth: after Mary had Jesus, she was a virgin no longer. She had other children. Oh, good night. Somebody reached up there and took Mary's statue right off the dashboard and whacked your kids with them today. And you're in church this morning hearing me say that she's not a virgin anymore. No. You can't hold hands with Buddha and have the Holy Ghost. You cannot say all religions lead to one place and have the Holy Spirit. You may like it, but he doesn't. But if our worship is about Jesus, if our Sunday school is about Jesus, if our preaching is about Jesus, if our Bible studies are about Jesus, the Holy Spirit says, I'll go where Jesus is respected. If you want the Holy Ghost, you got to have Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you some things that the Holy Spirit baptism will do for you in light of what the apostles went through. If you look in Acts chapter 4, verse 29, you'll read these words. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us your servants great boldness in preaching your word. Let me tell you what the Holy Spirit will do to fix your life. Number one, the Holy Spirit will fill you with boldness and remove fear. People are bold about a lot of crazy stuff. Are they not? Come on, help the preacher. You got to remember how to be preached to. Are not people bold about some silly things? They're silly. People got up at 5 o'clock yesterday to watch a wedding of somebody they don't know and couldn't get to church today. They couldn't make it to church today because they're tired because they got up early yesterday. Hello? Well, I watched it. Don't get me wrong. I watched it. That's all I'm going to say about that. The Holy Spirit will give you boldness. Please hear what I'm trying to stay on track. Please hear what I'm saying. There are people in this place. You are so burdened about loved ones. You are so burdened about family members. You are so burdened about your coworkers and your boss and your neighbors and people you know. And your heart aches because you know if they die, they're not going to heaven. And yet sometimes we step back. You know, in 1993... 89% of Christians who shared their faith agreed that it's the responsibility of every Christian to share their faith. Today, that has gone down by nearly 30%. Fewer Christians today feel like they're called to share the faith. Somebody says, well, it's not my personality. He didn't ask if it's your personality. The Holy Ghost will give you boldness, and it will become your personality. If you see somebody that was about to drive down a road and there's a bridge out, whether it's your personality or not, you would step out there and you'd say, "Don't go there." And I'm telling you today, it's just a lack of boldness. People are afraid. People are intimidated. What if I say the wrong thing? No, you should be concerned with what if you do nothing? What if that person is not told the reality of their spiritual destination? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm tired of the world being bolder than the church. It's time for the church to be bolder than the world. Number two, the Holy Spirit will fill you with boldness. Look at Acts 4, verse 30. Their prayer is this: stretch out your hand with healing power. Now look at this. Watch this. These guys have been beaten and imprisoned. And their prayer is, God, kill them. Like I said earlier, no, that's not what they said. This may miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Verse 31. After this praying, the meeting place shook and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. The Holy Spirit will fill you with boldness and remove fear. The Holy Spirit will fill you with love and remove offense. These men and women were at one time filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Say this with me, but we leak. And they had gone through some stuff, and they said, we cannot live on that blessing. We need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit today. How many know people will make you leak? How many know people, how many of you find it easier to keep your faith in a closet? But you start getting around people and people can begin to really claw on your faith. And you leave church Sunday and you're excited and you're on fire. But then throughout the week, certain things begin to happen and you can feel the barbs and you feel the attack. Your kids can hurt you. Your coworkers, your boss, your neighbors, people can come in. And can anybody identify with this? You feel like you're on top this day and then it just takes 24 hours and you feel like you're rubbing bottom again. Look at me, please hear me. You're not going to get an ounce of judgment from me. You're going to get a little bit of encouragement here. That it is not foreign to God to know that His people can bottom out. I don't mean you've forsaken the faith. I'm just saying you're here and then you don't have what you had. Please hear what I'm telling you. That's why God gives us church every Sunday. I told the worship team before service, I'm so grateful weeks are only 7 days long. Hello? Because by the seventh day, you can just run your tank. And I'm not saying you have to do this, but there are weeks that you can run till your tank runs out. But I got good news. God's not mad because your tank is empty. In fact, God likes it because He loves to refill people's tanks. Come on, somebody. Some of you, your marriage just needs a refilling. Some of you, your joy just needs a refilling. Some of you, your faith needs a... You're trying to say, why am I struggling with my faith? Because you're running on empty. It's been too long until you've lifted your hands and sung and tears went down your face and joy overwhelmed your heart and all of a sudden the despair left and you begin to praise God. You feel the presence of God. I'm telling you, love will come in and it won't be hard to forgive people. It'll be easy. Because Romans chapter 5 says that the Holy Ghost has been shed upon our hearts and the love of God flows from us. I'm going to tell you that it should be hard for a Christian to hold bitterness. Y'all okay? It's a little hot in here and I'm struggling to keep your attention. I know. But just give me a minute here, okay? What did I just say? It was really good. What? It's a great point. Oh, that's right. Okay, that's a great point. Thanks, Dottie. I like that. Dottie says it should be hard. It should be hard for a Christian to be bitter. What you talking about, Willis? I'm going to tell you today, it is totally weird for a Christian to have any kind of bad feeling against anybody. That's abnormal. That's unusual. How many of you are feeling weird then today? I know you're feeling weird and you're living the human existence, but truly, God has given us the ability to receive such an impartation, a download, a surge of the Holy Spirit, so that everything that comes to hurt us, we begin to stand up and say, thank God that that can't stick to me. You see, salvation is plugging into the power source. Baptism is the turning of it up. Salvation is turning on the car. Baptism is stepping on the gas. This will help you. I promise you, you've got nothing to be afraid of. You know, later on, let me move on. There's a time later in the book of Acts that Peter actually goes and preaches the gospel to the Italians. They're Gentiles. And when he gets up there and he starts preaching, see, up to this point, the only people who had been receiving the special power were the Jews. And Peter begins to preach to these people that are non-Jewish. And when the Italians start getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, they're going, mwah. Mwah, it's so good. Peter's like, whoa, that's weird. You're sitting here saying, well, the baptism is for emotional people, it's for these people, or uneducated people, or church people. No, this is for all people. Begins to see them, and the Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 10, what's my next verse there? Go ahead to it. And even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who were listening to the message. And the Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too. The Holy Spirit will bring authority and remove weakness. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit came and filled them. Filled them. Somebody say filled. I don't know if you ever feel weak. Okay. So if you have felt weak, guess what? Let's just say this cup is you. A dirty glass. You're not a dirty glass. But this is filled with something, is it not? Air. Very good. Matt Ward, the science guy. I've got a way to get that air out. Let's just say that air is your weakness. You want to know how to get rid of your weakness? Does anybody have a weakness? Come on, how many of you got a weakness? Oh my goodness. If I was you ladies, I'd hold my purses close. This is a shady crowd. That cup is full of weakness. And some days you are. And the only way to get rid of the weakness, how many know that ain't going to work? That ain't coming out. That's all your religious activity will do. Just frustrate you, get you turned upside down, frustrate you. I can't, it's like Heinz ketchup. I can't get it out. So what are you going to do to get what's in there out? You got to put something else in. And the more water I pour in here, the more, where does that air go? Is the air disappearing? Where is it going? Right up my nostrils. I'm pouring. Worship. Announcements. Prayer, preaching, altar call, laying on of hands. What's happening? What's happening? You came in full of air, but now you're walking out full of power. I'm telling you, you need 8 years more of education than I have to mess this up. What some of you need is your ugly attitude, your criticism, your fear, your insecurity, depression has not met anything more powerful than it, including religion. But when the Holy Ghost comes in, he'll come in and he'll start filling your cup. And he'll begin to say, is that all you want? Is that all you want? No, there's more. There's more. I'm just telling you today, you can have all you want. I'm going to come to overflowing, and so that my cup is full. I'll take all the joy. I'll take all the peace. I'll take all the strength. I'll take all the help. All the help there is, because there's a supply greater than my weakness. Fill my cup. You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. You can come in sick and leave well. You can come in afraid and leave strong. In Jesus' name, be filled with supernatural strength. One more. It's the elephant in the room. Are you ready? It's the elephant. Turn your ear and say, there's a big elephant in the room. Big elephant in the room. It's the biggest elephant in the room. Next verse, Acts 10. For they heard him speaking with other tongues and praising God. Whoop, there it is. There's the elephant. I'm trying to be a little bit, because I think people are afraid of something that is a life changer. Because I think people always come back to this thing, tongues. And they think tongues is jibber jabber. Tongues, real tongues, is not jibber jabber. I find it interesting, come on Bible scholars, I find it interesting that there was not one identifying aspect to the believers of Christ until they spoke with other tongues. Jesus said, these signs will follow you that believe. And he talks about miracles. But do you remember, miracles happened throughout all of time before Jesus. So all those miracles that happened before Jesus would not be a sign that something new happened. It's just a continuation. But Jesus did give something new that had never happened. And that is a language from heaven. Now, because people have either never been taught or they've been taught wrong, they've been, and or maybe they had a bad experience around something that was a fleshly manifestation. And it wasn't authentic from God. Maybe. But I want to speak to you and clear this elephant out of the room. I want to suggest to you that praying in tongues is the only smart thing that Jesus could do. Because you identify a species by its language. When Jesus died on the cross, have y'all got a minute? When Jesus died on the cross, I'm not trying to force anything down your throat. I'm trying to help you to know what Jesus did and how this prayer language fits in the Christian life. When you and I were born, we were born dead spiritually and not in God's family. And the moment we received Jesus Christ into our lives, we became new people. You know the scripture, old things are passed away, and behold, now all things have become new. We are new creatures. We have been adopted into his family. We are a different species. We are Christ-like ones. Come on now. We are Christ-like ones. We're not the same as, we're not religious, we're Christ-like ones. And if we are of a different species, then it only makes sense that we have a different language. Okay? Watch, what does a donkey say? What does a horse say? What does a pig say? What does a cat say? What's a dog say? I don't have to see the animal. I can know if there's a pig outside the door by listening. Because of its species, it has a different language. That's why you don't find cats barking or donkeys purring. Come on. I would suggest to you that speaking with a heavenly language is not odd at all. It's the only sign that makes sense. Why are you all staring at me like I'm from another planet? Watch. When a Rottweiler is chasing me, roof, 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 I don't know what he's saying. I think it's run, white boy, run. That's what I think he's saying. But when he barks to another dog, I don't know what they're saying. But they know each other. How many know dogs can bark at each other and they get it? Because they speak bark. I'm going to suggest to you today, this is not American and this is not popular, not even in our region. But the greatest works of God, the largest churches on the planet, are spirit-filled, tongue-talking churches. We've got to get out of our American mindset and understand that the silliness has got to go. And we got to get back to the Bible. And if Jesus said, this is the sign that you've received a new birth, that you're not the same person, then that's the sign I want. I'm not going to be cowardice about it. I don't care if you leave. I don't care if you take your offering. I didn't come here. The gospel won't work if it's compromised. We've got to have the power. And the power comes when we pray in a language that God has given to us. And what he does is he takes outsiders, people who nobody thought could follow him, the Italians and the Charlestonians. And the maniacs. Come on, somebody. And he brings them in by giving them proof that they're not the same anymore. And here's a sign. I've given you heaven's language. You know, my wife and I went to Spain and people spoke in another tongue. And I never thought it was weird. I've never been to France, but I suppose they speak French. And I never think that that's weird. I go down to Rockland. They speak down east. I don't think that's weird. You have to be taught stuff to be thinking that that's weird. Or exposed to something that's fleshly and not authentic. But I've come to tell you today, unashamedly, on a daily basis, I get before God and I pray in a language I did not learn from Rosetta Stone. And nobody sat down in a dark room and told me to say tie my tie, see my sai, Suzuki, Honda, Kawasaki. I got into a prayer room when I was 17 years old. And I was fighting hell. And I was trying to figure out how to serve God and be what he wanted me to be. But surrounded with temptation and ungodliness and evilness and sin. And I found myself in a prayer meeting in the prayer room of this church. And I cried out to God. I said, if you don't give me this power, I will never be able to be what you want me to be. And since I was 17 years old, I have found a friend in Jesus. And he helps me to pray when I don't know what to do next. I cannot hide that. I cannot explain it. I cannot undo the wrong that you've ever been taught. All I can ask you to do is take a fresh walk to the scripture and take Jesus at his word. And I can tell you, there are people who think, well, you know, you can't go to heaven unless you speak in tongues. That's a devilish doctrine. The only way you get to heaven is to have Jesus Christ to come into your heart. You're as heaven ready as anybody who speaks in tongues. I need you to hear this today. You don't come and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit because you're good. You don't come because you're strong. You don't come because you got it all together. It's exactly the opposite. You come because you're not good. You come because you're not strong. You come because you're not able. I promise you, you'll find yourself in a place that you have run out of all your own strength. And all of a sudden, you'll say, I'll be open. Is there anybody here grateful that Jesus has taken you and baptized you in the Holy Spirit and it has changed? Come on, lift a hand up there and be a testimony to somebody, to help somebody know. Lift the other hand and begin to thank God. I got access, I got power, I got help, and I'm not going to ever be the same because of it. Come on, let's begin to praise God. Just begin to thank God for this wonderful blessing that God has not left us alone, but that God has given us supernatural power. Come on, right out loud, church, just begin to praise him. You don't have to praise him if you've received. Just begin to thank God that it's available. Come on now. Must be 600 people in here. I make more noise than you. Come on, begin to just open your mouth and begin to be bold about it. Say, thank God, I got everything I need to parent. I got everything I need for my marriage. I got everything I need for my health. I got everything I need for my ministry. I got everything I need for my decision. Come on, somebody. I got everything I need for my job. I got everything I need to have a peace of mind. I have everything I need to be free from sin. I have everything I need to be a witness. I have everything I need. Come on. The Holy Ghost is not a hostage taker. He is a gentleman that comes upon a visitation. Begin to thank God that he's here today. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, if I gave you $1 million, you'd run around the building. I'm giving you something. He's giving you something better than that. You ought to begin to thank him that you have it, or thank him that it's available right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Come on, church, just begin to praise God. It is not unusual for people to rejoice in church. Amen. It is not odd for people to enjoy the presence of the Creator of all of heaven and earth. It is not unusual for people to want to sing, cry, jump, leap, run, dance, get happy. Oh, it's unusual if you don't believe in the power of God, but if you do, it is totally expected. We honor you today. Jesus, I thank you that your Son, you as the Son of God, have brought us into this supernatural power. We receive it today in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus.
Begin to lift him up right now. There's a weakness that God's going to take
power
out. There's a hopelessness that God's going to remove. There's a helper coming to somebody
there
today.
Is power in the name of Jesus.
Come on, there's help coming.
To break every chain, break every chain.
Hallelujah. Somebody's family, somebody's homes,
there
somebody's children. Oh, come on, something real. Does anybody want a real move of God? Does anybody want something that will change our church forever?
Break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain. Oh, 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 there is power.
Katie, this is my wife, Darcy Katie. How many know the Holy Ghost is here? It's not a song, it's not an emotion. The Holy Spirit is here today. What is your name, ma'am?
Amy.
Amy and Katie. Were you sitting beside Katie?
Yes.
Amy does not know Katie.
No.
But Amy was just sitting with Katie and said, Katie, do you want to get born again today? And Katie said, yes, I do. Yeah. Beautiful. It's beautiful. Where are you from, dear?
Bangor.
From Bangor? I'm so glad. Did you come alone today?
With
your children?
Yeah.
Wow. How many children do you have?
Four.
You have four kids. You need the Holy Ghost. With power and signs and wonders following. That's awesome. The best thing that you can give your children that you love more than anything on the earth is Jesus. That's what's going to happen to you today. Do you realize that this is Amy? God put Amy near you. She had the boldness to ask you. But this is God doing. I want you to know the Holy Spirit will never do anything to scare you. He'll always do something to help you. I'm going to pray with you. Is there anybody else that says, today I want to respond. I want to give my life to Christ. The Holy Spirit governs the altar calls, not me. I'd ask everybody remain still in the service. This is God's moment. This is your moment. God, look, kind of a crowd here today, but God looked into it and saw you. You're the one that God had his eye on. Isn't that special? And I hope nobody else is here that's not ready for heaven, but it could be that today God wanted nobody else but you. I mean, he doesn't want anybody to perish, so don't get me wrong, but I think this is just significant. He picked you out, not the crowd, the person. Isn't that awesome? We're going to pray together. Is it Katie? Okay. Let's pray together. Come on, let's do this family style. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. You look through this crowd of hundreds. And you picked me today. Thank you for loving me. I'm not forgotten.
I'm not forgotten.
I'm on your mind.
I'm on your mind.
Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
From all my sins.
I want to be in your family.
I receive a new beginning.
I receive a spiritual heart.
I can sense your presence.
Hear your voice.
And be led by you.
The yesterdays of my life
are history.
And I have a new future.
Thank you
for doing this today.
Fill me
with the Holy Spirit,
that I can be the mom
and the person
I get to be.
In Jesus' name.
Lord, I pray for Katie right now.
What a precious lady.
This is, Lord, one of the most sacred moments I think I've ever been in.
Lord, I thank you that this is the harvest that you want for people and lives.
I pray for her precious children.
Four children, Lord, that'll be blessed because of Katie's decision today.
Praise God.
And life will never be the same.
Heal every broken area of her life in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, dear.
Help her, honey.
Come on, let's do better.
I'm going to tell you something. If your Holy Ghost gets you running up and down the aisles, but you don't win anybody to Christ, you need the full experience.
Hello?
I'm for running up and down the aisle. I might yet.
But how many know the Holy Spirit, it's a river of life flowing through us?
How many are ready for God to just refresh you right now?
Just begin to pray.
You say, how do I get baptized in the Holy Ghost?
I'll tell you how.
You ask him, like Katie asked Jesus to save her.
Now you ask Jesus to baptize you.
It is that simple.
If you complicate it more than that, you'll never be satisfied.
I'm not going to call you out. I'm going to let you be right where you're at. But you're in a safe place.
And I want you, this is the best way I know.
Because I like to lift my hands and praise God. Both because I love him and I surrender to him.
And there's those priests in the Pentecost, they would lift those bread, that bread, like as thanks.
I kind of like to do that. I like to lift my hands and say, Lord, thank you that I get all the power that I'll ever need.
Please don't segment this into doctrine. This is an experience with God that is backed by good doctrine.
And wherever you're at in life, I'm not going to embarrass you. Is nothing scary going to happen to you?
Did anything scary happen to you when you got saved?
Then nothing scary will happen to you when you get baptized.
Lift our voices now to the Lord.
Amen.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
And so where there's people free to worship, Jesus is free to baptize.
Moms and dads, men and women, boys and girls, grandparents, everybody in this place, receive the Holy Spirit now in Jesus' name with the evidence of a heavenly language. Now in Jesus' name, those that are online, receive a heavenly language that will fill you, free you, embolden you, give you authority in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, come Holy Spirit and help your people one more time.
I hear the chains falling.
Power, power, one to work in power, in the precious blood of the paid such a price, but our redemption, heaven's gates swing wide. Yeah, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power.
Person in this place, and I'm going to dismiss in a moment. I know people have places to go, and you're being conscientious of what's going on here, and I appreciate that so much. Thank you, and I respect your time too. I really do. I want every person that says, I have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I want to be. I want to receive boldness. I want to receive love. I want to receive the acceptance, the power in prayer. And you say, I've never had that. I want to experience that. I want you to come in just a moment, and I want every person that has been, that says, I'm ready for God to just fill me one more time. You know, if the apostles needed to have other experiences, I'm sure I do. I'm sure you do. Come on. Maybe you're here today and say, I don't feel worthy, or I just feel tired, or my family's struggling. If any kind of battle, thank God, in the name of Jesus, there's no battle stronger than the name of Jesus. They said to Scarborough, you've got colon cancer, and you're going to have treatment, and you're going to have a bag, and you're going to have all that. Well, he has no bag, and he has no cancer. A little less colon, but he's healed in Jesus' name. Sorry, that hit me kind of funny. All right, I want every person that says, I've never been, I want to be, or I have been, and I'm no better than the apostles. I need a refreshing. I won't keep you here any longer than you want to be. And then after they come, those of you that need to go out, you're blessed and able to be dismissed. Come quick. If you say, am I going to have to go to that altar for an hour? No, you come as long as you want. But everybody that's not been, wants to be, or those who say, I'd like a refreshing, I'd like a refilling, I want a revival, I want an outpouring, I want something to happen in my life that I'm so hungry for. Come on, let the hungry come. Let the thirsty come. God has sent me to minister to you and to encourage you. God, come right up close. Come right up close. They're singing. You're coming. Once they get here, you need to go. God bless you. Stay in your seats if you want. I don't mind. Totally open. You got all options. All options are open to you today. In the name of Jesus. Come with your hands up and begin to thank God. We're going to receive today from the Lord.